That was fast, wasn't it? I am delighted to have my wife, Patty, there. Kristen and her boyfriend are with us today. I'm glad to have them with us. Well, this morning, I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 1, if you will, with me, verse 8 and 9. Actually, verses 8 through 13. And I've got a message I think is appropriate for Thanksgiving today. It's called, What Are You Bringing to the Table? What are you bringing to the table? In verse 8 and 9, I wanted to draw your attention there, first of all, because it begins by saying that Paul said that he gives thanks. And what he was giving thanks for was the worldwide impact of the ministry that was taking place in the church at Rome. And if you look at the descriptions that he mentions in verse 8 and 9, I think they're a lot like this church. There's a lot of prayer that goes on, and thanksgiving and thankful hearts that are here in this place, and you are making an impact, not only here in Tyler, but all around the world, as was mentioned earlier in the prisons, the outreach that's taking place there in Peru, in Reynosa, in Romania. I'm trying to just remember some of the places I've learned that you've been. And more recently in Cuba. What a wonderful work God is doing in Cuba. Amen? And so your work, that your faith that you have in Jesus Christ is being heard of around the world and locally. I was up in the Dallas area twice recently. I get up there quite a bit, and twice now I bumped into people that knew about Church of the Living Hope or had been here or been ministered to or had friends here, and it just makes the world a whole lot smaller, and we realize what a blessed family that we have. Amen. You know, at Thanksgiving time, we always think about the big Thanksgiving dinner, and typically everybody has something to bring. Everybody has something to contribute that comes to the dinner. And I want you to make that connection today with the ministry that takes place here at Church of the Living Hope. Because really, every Sunday is a Thanksgiving dinner, isn't it? Where everybody has something to bring. Everybody has something to contribute to the ministry that is ongoing here. And so this morning, I want to talk about these things that the Apostle Paul said that he likes to bring when he goes to a place of ministry. He gives us three things in Scripture, and I want to share them with you today. They're found in Romans chapter 1, where you're already at, and beginning with verse 11. The second thing's in verse 12, and the next one is in verse 13. The first thing that we find the Apostle Paul said he likes to bring to the table is he would like to bring some spiritual gift that he could impart. And I believe that's what we all need to do when we come together. We need to bring something, don't we? We have a gift. The Bible tells us that every one of us has gifts. I don't have time to go over all of these gifts today, but I'll just give you the references today, some of the spiritual gifts that are in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, we find the manifestation gifts, word of knowledge, word of faith. We find prophecy there, healing, tongues, interpretation, discernment. There's nine of those gifts that are mentioned there. And, you know, we need to realize that all of those gifts need to be used in the church. Amen? Not just five of them and do away with the others. Not just seven and forget two. But all of those are needed, and Jesus has given them to us for the benefit of the body of Christ. Now, sometimes we like to think of those gifts as being public, something that's very seen. But I want you to know, when it comes to bringing a spiritual gift that you would like to impart, seeking a gift, which is biblical, 1 Corinthians 12, I think it's verse 7, says everyone has a gift. It actually says in the same passage of Scripture that we should desire these gifts, desire them earnestly. It's the one thing in the Bible that if you're reading the King James, it says to go and covet them. That's the one time you can covet, is when you are seeking after spiritual gifts. But in seeking gifts, that doesn't mean that we are striving to be seen. The reason for seeking after gifts is that we are desiring to build up and to bless. So if you're one of these people that maybe you think, hey, I'm not a public speaker, I don't like to be seen when I do things, well, this is some good news for you today. You don't have to be afraid of the gifts when God says you have a gift and it needs to be used. You don't have to be Oral Roberts or Catherine Kuhlman or some more recent person with a healing ministry. You can pray with even the person not knowing about it. Pray for them and see that they are healed in their body. You can see marriages put back together when you believe in Jesus' name. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and God has given you faith for various ones of these gifts to be used in the body of Christ. Another passage that speaks about gifts is Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. I like to call these motivational gifts. So you need to take time to read those. Romans 12, 6 through 8. It's how you go about ministry. And then last of all, which is more specific to the passage we're in today, is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And here we find the fivefold ministry gifts mentioned: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And God has given these gifts to the church for the purpose of equipping others in the body of Christ to be the minister. At one time, in one of the churches I pastored, we actually made a business card that had typically on a card, when it says minister, it has one person's name on. In ours, we put minister was congregation and the name of the pastor of that church, because really every one of us has been called to be a minister in the body of Christ. We all have something to contribute. We all have a ministry. But these equipper gifts, as they are called, because the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:11 that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they are there to equip the saints. They're to equip the congregation, if you will, in this place today. They're to equip them for the work of what? Of the ministry. That means you're to be ministering. You're a minister today. And we find particularly in this passage when Paul speaks of his gift, it's mentioned in chapter 1, verse 1 of Romans. And also we find him mentioning it again in verse 5 of this chapter. Paul, it says in verse 5, he had a grace and apostleship gift. He had the gifts of grace and apostleship. And in this gift, he was to call people to faith and obedience in Jesus Christ. He was to plant and establish churches. And the way that he went about establishing these churches, because he was not there for very long, he would establish a church and he would go somewhere else. But I want you to know those churches continued to grow and continued to reach out to others and to minister long, long after he was gone. And so that's what I want you to get the feeling of what he means when he says that I want to see you. He badly wanted to get together with the body of Christ so that he could spiritually or impart some spiritual gift in the body of Christ. Not just have you be impressed with his gift, but he was not wanting to impress, he was wanting to impart his gift to the body of Christ. He was not trying to be a leader that everybody would be impressed with. And that we all need to realize today, the purpose of God giving us gifts. It's not so that you can get a GT rating, gifted and talented, so everybody can look up to you and be impressed with that. Amen? That's not why God gives gifts. The desire that we need to have is not to impress, but to impart. What does it mean to impress? If we impress people, that can be selfish, can it? Or self-serving. It can be prideful. But when you impart, by the very nature of the meaning of that word, to divide or to share, it means that you're going to be sharing. And that is not prideful. That is powerful in the church. And so we need to impart gifts as the Apostle Paul desired to do. Many times when a church is looking for a pastor or a staff position at a church, they'll hang out their minister wanted sign, whether it be on the internet or posting in a newsletter somewhere. And the sad thing about it is that many times they're looking for a gifted minister that can do the ministry for them. You hear what I'm saying? To do the ministry for them. Who did we say the ministers are? The whole body of Christ. The pastor's the equipper so the saints can be the ministers. And so, you know, when they hang out that sign and they're looking for the pastor to do the ministry for them, they're not looking for a minister. They're looking for a mule. Amen? That's scriptural. In a way, I'll give you a passage of scripture here. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19. Here we find Elisha. God had asked Elijah to pass on this ministry, or impart the ministry, we could say, onto Elisha. And so first of all, Elisha, he receives the mantle of the prophet. But before he receives the ministry of the prophet, he had something to do. He had to go back to what he was doing before, because there was going to be a change of focus in his work from now on. And I want you to realize this too, that when you change a ministry or a gift changes in your life, it doesn't mean you quit working. I've had a lot of people, a lot of ministers actually, would get upset when people would tell them, you only work on Sunday. Now, I was a little bit kind of different. I would actually be one of those ministers that would tell people, I only work on Sunday. And that way they could think, oh, man, I want that job. And I know they would find out soon enough that they work the other days of the week also. So I wasn't too worried about it. But back to the passage of Scripture here, the thing that Elisha had to do, he had to go back. He burned 12 wooden yokes that were over the oxen. Anybody seen big oxen? I've seen some oxen in Iowa at a pioneer exhibit of the early pioneers. And I mean, no exaggeration, these things were this tall. I don't know if that's how they were out in Israel. But I wondered, how in the world could anybody, and they actually had a guy out there holding the old wooden plows, and he's trying to get these big, giant animals to go in a straight direction. And they're wobbling this way and this way. And I thought, you know, those animals, if they weren't yoked to that yoke and the reins that were on them, they could go just about anywhere they wanted to. They could anyhow, they just didn't know it. But can you imagine with Elisha, he burned 12 yoke of oxen. That meant there were 24 oxen, and he was found by Elijah behind all of those 12 oxen. He was plowing the fields in back of a whole team of 24 in groups of two, being 12 yoke of oxen. And so what he had to do before he received the ministry of the prophet, he went and burned those yokes and he sacrificed those animals that he had never go back to those. And I believe there's some symbolism that's in there today. There's a symbolical change of ministry focus from manual to the mantle. And it's a good description of what it means to be an equipper, to be in one of these fivefold gifts, to be a leader, equipper. I think an excellent local example, and I don't mean just local because it's worldwide, a great example of a leader equipper today is Joe and Charlotte Foss. They are equippers, and I think you could use the title. He doesn't go by it, but in very many ways, he has an apostolic gift. Now, we don't say that outside of here. Maybe he'd get in trouble for using that term, but if you look at what an apostolic gift is, and the beauty of it is the way that they are such wonderful equippers. What does that mean? They share and develop and multiply the leadership gifts that God has given to them. That's what that means, to be an equipper. The spirit of ministry that they have, and you've felt the heart of ministry that they have, that is being poured into others' lives. Their kindness, their compassion, their desire to reach the world for Jesus Christ, the selflessness, and he's not paid me to say any of this today. Their vision of hope, all of these things, I don't just see it in them. I see that in this body of Jesus Christ. I see that spirit has been poured, or shall we use that word given by the Apostle Paul, has been imparted into the body of Jesus Christ. I see that kindness in you. I see that compassion. I can hardly come into the church here and I see the wonderful, not just the church, but the Central or Calvary International Bible College and Calvary Commission, to see the spirit, the friendship, the spirit of ministry that's upon each of you. The second thing that the Apostle Paul wanted to bring to the table, we find in verse 12, and we need to bring this to the table as well. He said that he desired to bring, he desired to have mutual encouragement in the faith. He didn't see ministry as a one-way street where he was giving and everybody else was receiving. No, he saw that when he came, he gave, but yes, others gave, and he received even as others were receiving. And when you realize that not only do you have something to give when you meet with the body of Christ, but you also have something to receive, whether that be a four-year-old child that has something to say, whether that be an elderly person, where it doesn't matter who it is, how old they are, what they look like, there's always something that somebody has that they can give. And I'm so thankful for that. There are many opportunities in this church. When it comes to having mutual encouragement, people need, I believe it's a basic need of mankind. They need to be needed. People need to be needed in this world. They need to be appreciated. And when we talk about coming for mutual encouragement, that means we appreciate one another's gifts. We encourage each other's gifts. And we take the time to develop those gifts or have them develop in us as well. In this church, there's many opportunities for gift development and for use of your gifts. If you look in your bulletin, I've seen Kingdom Builders, Dinner of Hope on Wednesday. If you have the mercy gift, if you have the giver gift, that Kingdom Builders would be a good one for you. And after it gets built and you have the teaching gift, there's a place for you to invest that. Amen? My son, this week, he has been out in Las Vegas. And so I used my daddy gift, and I said, son, just because you're in Sin City doesn't mean you have to. And my son was actually there getting one of his gifts developed. He does lighting and sound. He used to do it voluntarily, and it developed and so forth until now he has a full-time position out in Albuquerque, Mexico. And he says, Dad, what I'm doing right now, because I had texted him, you know, you don't have to. And he said, what I'm doing right now is I'm in a math class, Dad. And, you know, I didn't used to like math, but I think I actually like it now. Because he was taking a class, and this might scare some people to think about taking it. He was having a course in applied physics. Because in his occupation, or his calling, his gifting, he has to put on cables that go in some big auditoriums and arenas that will hold these big heavyweight speakers and lights and all kinds of thing. And he had to know the math that went with the tension loads, with the weight loads at different angles, different heights, and different things with all of these. And he was actually learning to like math. Why? Because he finally found that there's actually an application to this stuff that I was learning in school before. I found that to be true also in high school. One of my favorite teachers, believe it or not, and most of the time just hearing this name would scare you. It scared me. It was a trigonometry and analysis class. And that just sounds torturous by the name. But this teacher showed us the application, how that someone, if they were going to be a pilot, they would be able to use this and they would give other applications. Later on, I taught a geometry class in ninth grade, and I decided to use that method. And in geometry, that scares a lot of people, but I taught that in a way that if somebody was going to be going into the construction field, they would be able to use these tools to build a fence, to be able to get the angles that are on the roof and things that they could apply to their life. And suddenly, you know, something you hated, you realize, I really do enjoy this because I can use it. I can be a contributor in this field. And that's how it is when it comes with the gifts. Gifts are just luggage that you carry along until you know how to use it. Amen? And if you don't use them, they'll just dwindle. Equippers help you to see that gift, develop that gift to its most fulfilling and effective use. You saw some pictures on the display today of some of the banquets that the brothers and sisters of Iglesia Cristo Vive put on at our church in Houston. They also served at some district banquets for in our denomination or fellowship. And they did quinceañeras and weddings. And people were so impressed by that. But not everybody knows the testimony behind it. Alex Solorio was a brother who had a job in a serving industry. He actually learned how to do banquets and how to serve in some four-star hotels in Houston, Texas. But his testimony is he really didn't like what he was doing, and he quit that job after a while. He said, these are his words, he said them to me. He says, I really got tired of having to put on a big fake smile for people so that I could get better tips and everything else that went along with that. He did not enjoy that aspect of work at all. You wouldn't know that by these pictures, because he knew how to impress people. But we're not talking about impressing people with your gift today. We're talking about imparting gifts, the spirit of that gift. And this man, after he started attending Iglesia Cristo Vive, he felt that the Lord was speaking to him to start a ministry in the church. And he began to train volunteers in the church. And the beautiful thing is, his heart was so changed by God that servant heart that he had, and if you just talk to him, you could, if you want a definition of humility and of service and kindness, you just need to get in a conversation with this man. And it spilled over into these volunteers so that people weren't just serving foods at the tables. Yes, they were impressive. They put on the black suits and vests, and they put the towel over the arm, and you saw the pictures of the banquet. But he taught them how to give more than food. They were there trying to bless people at the table. You felt important that you were there at that table, that you had been invited. You felt very special. You felt the love. You felt the kindness. That was being poured over into the table and had into this group of volunteers. I don't know if Alex Solario ever considered himself to be an equipper, but that's what he was. He was equipping people to do the work of the ministry. And it's not just the mechanics and the nuts and bolts of how you do the ministry, but it's that heart, inner spirit of ministry that needs to be imparted. And only the Spirit of God can do that with us. Amen? And we need to pray that God will help us to impart what God has done in you to pass it on to somebody else. There's a lot of mutual encouragement of the faith that goes on here and also at the Bible College. Every time I've come in this church, and my daughter remarked about it this morning, she said, they are so friendly here. There's always about five people shake my hand or pat me on the back. They ask if I'm okay, or they give me a hug. They say they're praying for me. I mean, from everywhere, whether it's here, over at Calvary Commission, over at the Calvary International Bible College, people encourage one another mutually. I hope it's not embarrassing them today, but just a couple of examples. Lupe, you may know him. He was just in conversation. He wasn't up here in the pulpit, and he was just sharing a testimony with me. And he was in a place in his life that for 15 years, probably the biggest pleasure that he could have would be to have a cup of coffee. And he decided, and I don't know all the reasons why he decided not to, but he didn't feel that that should be a part of his life, and he just shared that with me. But what he didn't know is that in my life, for the last several years, God had spoken to me specifically, and I'm not saying this to try to say, hey, it's a sin to have coffee. That's the last thing I would say to any of you here today. But for me, you know, coffee wasn't probably a smart thing, and God knows it. Number one, not that I need to tell you everything about me here today, but when I drink coffee at breakfast, I'm ready for another breakfast an hour later. It just makes me hungry. That doesn't affect everybody that way. But God had been dealing with me that, and I didn't know all the reasons why, and I just kept putting it off. I always had another reason or a good reason why I couldn't until I heard that. I thought, if he could do without that for 15 years, surely I can give this thing up, and I'm about 2 months free now of coffee. But that's a mutual encouragement, and I stress, I'm not trying to say that's a sin, but you know, if I'm disobeying the voice of the Lord, that is a sin. And I was encouraged to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's impartation of a gift taking place. Another example that I have just the other week on a Wednesday, and I've been blessed hearing the podcasts when I'm not here of different ministers, but on Wednesday, Robert had gotten up and spoke before the service, and he didn't know what's going on in my life. I haven't had big discussion about that with him at all. Matter of fact, I had to ask, who's that? What's the name of that guy up there, so that I could mention him today in the service. But he was talking about that when you come to some choices in your life, that we shouldn't always choose the or make the choice that's going to make you look good or is going to be the best looking. He said we need to choose what brings glory, the most glory to God. And he didn't know that I had some choices that I'm having to go through in my life where there's this choice or this choice or this choice. And what an encouragement to me. I needed it right then. Why? Because he brought something to the table. He brought his gift. He brought his spirit. He brought something that God had dealt with him, and he divided it among the believers. He shared it, and I was able to be encouraged by that faith that he had, and it helped me. Now, I'm still working on the next part of what he said. It might take me a while because he also said this. He said, at my expense, Lord, get glory. And I'm holding off on that one a little bit because I know what that means, you know, or I don't know what that means. I'm at least as far as the first one in the encouragement to faith today. There's a couple of young teens. They were age 17, Alex and Brett Harris. They were from Oregon. They ended up starting a very popular teen blog. I'm not sure if today it's still the most popular or not, but it's called Rebellution, not with a V, but with a B, R-E-B-E-L, Rebellution. And these guys, following their own thoughts on this, decided that they were going to rebel against the low expectations that people have toward teens. They described, and in our society, I'm not sure exactly what point or age, they mentioned it in the book, but somewhere in our nation's history and in the world, people started seeing that this age where you have teen on the end of it, that there's just a lot of things that they can't do or won't be able to do. And not only is that expressed by the society that is older than that age, but the teens actually believe that themselves. And so they started a revolution. Their own example is they were invited by the judge in Alabama to be interns at the age of 17. And that's a highly sought-after invitation for people who are college graduates. But at 17, they were invited by the Alabama Supreme Court judge to be their interns. Later, because of the work that they really invested themselves in there, they ran four state campaigns in Alabama. And a lot of other teens are writing in and are part of this blog, realizing that they can rebel against lower expectations of youth today. And I, as I think about that, I just get excited about that today, if we take that application and bring it to the church today, if we will appreciate and encourage one another in the gifts, we'll have a revolution on our hands. Not a revolution like what we hear about today when people rebel against the establishment and authority and you start seeing houses burned and cars overturned and people throwing rocks at police. That's not the kind of rebellion they're talking about. They're talking about a rebellion against low expectations that they can do things that will change this society. They can do things that will change this world, change the community around us. They're not too young. And there's a lot of luggage and baggage they got to get out of their mind and others in the process, but they are starting a revolution. And if you and I, we encourage, we appreciate the gifts, no matter how young or how old or what status somebody has in life, realizing there's a contribution there, we will raise the expectation level in the church. Can you say praise the Lord today? Lastly today, verse 13, Paul said, if you're reading in the New International Version, he says, I desire to have a harvest among you. And some of the other versions it uses the word, desires to have fruit among you. And whether you're talking about fruits of righteousness or you're talking about a harvest of souls, all that comes together in this. But specifically today, I want to speak to you about that harvest of souls that we have around us before we go here today. I believe if everyone will use their gift, you bring something to the table, and then you impart those gifts and encourage others in their gifts, that we will have a bountiful harvest here in the north part of Houston. John chapter 4 and verse 35, Jesus said, and you know this passage very well, lift up, he said, behold, lift up your eyes and look on the harvest. The fields are plenteous and they're ripe unto harvest. We need to look up. And looking up means not just looking at what's going on in here. Amen? But what's taking place around us. It was a lot of years ago, but I had the privilege one time to be driving in a car with David Wilkerson in Lindale. And I had heard of Owen Carr's story and also had a burden for Chicago, later headed that way and did some ministry in the Bridgeport downtown area of Chicago. But I had remembered that, you know, when you get on top, I can't remember which building it was, the Sears Tower or the John Hancock building, and you look out, you get a good view of Chicago. And you see all this jungle of concrete and a vast sea of humanity. And I just said, had this opportunity, and I asked Dave Wilkerson, I says, you know, when you look out and you see this vast sea of lost humanity, how in the world can you make a difference? And I'm glad he didn't give me a complicated answer. He gave me a simple answer. He says, well, you know, each of us has a cup. And he says, when you see that lost, that ocean, that vast ocean of lost humanity, you just take your cup and you begin dipping that cup in that water and bring it out one cup at a time. Each of us, our life is a cup, isn't it? And we need to use this life that we've been given to be able to win the lost for Jesus Christ. I also had an evangelist that had come to our church. I think his name was David Johnson. Forgive me if I'm wrong and you hear about this. But he would come before ministering in a church, and we had had him for about 5 days for some evangelistic services. But he did this in his hometown when he was a pastor before God had changed his gifts. And he would drive around, not just drive around the church building, but he would drive around the area, and he would slowly, slowly drive and pray over each house, each apartment, any place where somebody was living around. If there was an empty place, he would pray that God would move somebody in that could be come with gifts that could be used in the church and to reach the lost. And he'd just be going around the community that way. And I just think of that picture here today when we talk about a harvest, because there's a lot of people that are living around us. And some of them, they may live in an apartment. There may be some that live in a home. Some may be living under a tree. Some might be living in their car. When I left Houston, I was ministering to one family that came to church that were living out of their car. There are people that may even, you know, we've got some beautiful homes in Tyler. They may be tucked away in a mansion comfortably. But I want you to understand this today, that if they have not tasted of the bread of life and of the living water that we have in Jesus Christ, then they are hungry and they are thirsty and they are lost. And they are people that you and I have a cup to dip into and to begin to minister and bring to the table and to begin to have a harvest of souls. Already, and my wife loves these, I think they ought to wait till after Christmas. I mean, after Thanksgiving, but already there's all of these Christmas shows on TV. And, you know, that's why they're selling Christmas stuff in the stores, because everybody's already watching it in their home. And they're wonderful stories. I mean, she could listen to them all year long, and that's not an exaggeration. She loves the Christmas, different Christmas stories. But one of these, and I don't know which story it would be, but you see this picture often in these typical Christmas movies where there's somebody, whether it was because of a tragedy or crisis within their own family or because they lost work or maybe all their life they were without a place to go on Thanksgiving or at Christmas time, at Christmas dinner. And so we all have seen this picture through movies of somebody, whether it be a young child or it be an old man or whether it be a homeless man or somebody who just didn't have anybody to share it with. And they're kind of peering in through that window. It might have some frost on it, but they're peering in. And they see this family that's there, just this glowing scene. They're having a good time. It's friendly, and everything is just beautiful on the inside. And this person on the outside, they won't invite themselves in. There's no way they're going to invite themselves in to be a part of that dinner. Of course, we can invite them in. Amen? But here's what I want you to see today. If there's something I could impart, and this has been my prayer this morning, I came and I asked the Lord, you can't even preach this message and say, hey, you know, I hope I impress somebody with a sermon. I want to impart something today. And if you forget everything I've said thus far, I want you to remember this. First of all, get that picture. I could have shown a picture today, but I thought it'd be much better if you just picture it in your own mind of somebody outside that window and looking in. And now I want to tell you who that person is that's outside that window. People without Jesus Christ in their life, they are hungry and they are homeless. Spiritually speaking, now, I know we have people that are hungry and homeless as far as material things or shelter or having no food to eat, but spiritually, and this pertains to that which is of even greater matter, that of our spiritual destiny and of our eternity, that anybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ is spiritually hungry and they are spiritually homeless. And they won't invite themselves in. Only we can invite them in. I want you just to try to see that this morning. You don't have to see somebody that's in tattered rags. Maybe you will. It doesn't matter if it's somebody that has rags for clothes. And it doesn't matter if it's somebody who's very wealthy that has the latest designer clothes and is living in a mansion somewhere. It doesn't matter if it's somebody that's very young or somebody old or somebody of a different race or a different economic status. You take the wide spectrum of it, but I want you to see them. They are spiritually that individual that only can look in the window. And they are homeless. And they're hungry. You know, that picture that we see at Christmas time, that tugs at our heartstrings, doesn't it? We want to help. We want to minister. We want to feed people. But if God can take that same picture and translate it into the spiritual truth, that without Jesus Christ, and God's got to do, when I say impartation, this can't be done just in the natural because we're all the time seeing with the natural eye, aren't we? But we need to have spiritual eyes given to us so that we can see these individuals as the hungry and homeless that we can reach out to. And so we end with the question I started with, what are you bringing to the table? No one expects you to bring the whole dinner and feed everyone in Tyler, but you are incredibly and supernaturally gifted, and your gift is needed every single week. Thank God for the gift He's given you. Use the gifts that He's given you. You have gifts. Use them. Mutually encourage faith. See the vision. See the fields. And then dip in your cup. There are so many churches today that people come like a football game. They bought their ticket so they get to have a seat and they watch others do the ministry. But God has given you a gift so that you can come and minister. Don't just be a bench warmer, amen? Use your gift. You've got a gift. If you don't know what your gift is today, there's plenty of equippers because that gift has been multiplied. People that will help you to find a place where it might even be something that you didn't like before, but you will find that when you find the use, you find the purpose and how to do it and the benefit of it, suddenly you'll find, wow, I wish I knew I loved doing this before. I'd done it a long time ago. Amen? Let's stand together, shall we? Praise the Lord. I believe God has a bountiful harvest for us in North Tyler here. Not just in North Tyler, but it's multiplied around the world. It's being multiplied. It's being imparted. Hallelujah. This family's a lot bigger than right here. There's people that listen in and talk on email and so forth that are just as much a part here. Your faith is being spoken of throughout the world. Your prayers, your thanksgiving to God. But here in this place today, would you take some time before I turn it over back to Dr. Foss today? Would you take some time this morning to, first of all, thank God for the gift He's given you? Thank Him for the gift. And then would you thank Him for the gifts of those that God has given around you, and that God would use and develop those gifts in you and in others? And let's remember our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world today. It took a lot for these gifts to come to us. The Bible tells us that when Jesus died, He took captivity captive, and He brought gifts to man. Jesus paid the price with His own death and blood on the cross in order that He could bring these gifts to you and me. They're precious gifts. They're valuable gifts. Let's thank God for them, shall we? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just first of all give the Lord a hand today. Thank Him for His wonderful, unspeakable gift. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Let's just thank the Lord, shall we? Would you begin to thank Him out loud, one for another? Thank God for the gifts of apostles, prophets, people in the church you know that have gifts of mercy, that are givers, people that show kindness, people that so faithfully serve every day. Oh, Lord, we thank You for them. Bless these gifts, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Help us to bring it to the table, Lord, every week. I'm not afraid, not shy about it, oh, Lord. Encouraging others, desiring not to impress with our service, but to impart the wonderful gift that You've given to us and divide it. Encourage others in the faith and to win the lost for You. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.
The Bible says it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Amen.
I'd like for our prayer team to come forward at this time. I believe there's people here today that want to commit what has been said by our brother to a personal commitment. Other people, if you just need someone to pray with you this morning, we want to give you an opportunity to have people to hear your quest and call upon the Lord. Scripture says if there will two will agree touching any one thing, it shall be done. And Brother Yonker, thank you so much for the Word of God. Precious is His Word. It speaks to our hearts today. If you'd like some prayer this morning, why don't you come on forward? We'll bring a keyboard player up. Maybe. And as these people come forward, I want you to stretch your hand this way and join in their prayer and their needs. If you've come in this morning and you don't have the joy of the Lord, you really don't know anything about a personal relationship with Jesus, there are people up here that can lead you to the Lord. The Scripture says if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we recognize today that God is working in our midst. We have people getting ready to go on travel during the holidays, and we need prayer. We need prayer. It's a difficult world out there at times, and we need prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Precious. Thank You, God. Thank you. With a grateful Yes, God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, oh God. Yes, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Precious Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Jesus, our Lord. Precious Jesus. Oh, Jesus, our Lord. Thank you, God. Precious Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Precious Lord. Father, thank you for your word this morning, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for hungry hearts. Let us all realize that there are people that are homeless because they don't have that home in heaven. They're homeless because they don't have the family of God. Lord, they're hungry, not just for food, but for all that you have for them. For you said that you would give us life and give it more abundantly. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you stretch your hand this way and we will give you a benediction, which means a blessing. A blessing as you go this morning. A blessing as you fellowship. Your first time here, well, please meet us over in the coffee room today. We'd like to give you something special. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. Now may the Lord bless you as you go. Go and find that person that is homeless, that is hungry spiritually. Find that need and meet it. Find that hurt and heal it. Wherever you go, those traveling this week, let it be a challenge to you that God's going to put somebody in your path that you're going to be able to give hope to. You're going to be able to be an atmosphere changer wherever you are. You're going to be able to go. And let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. May the Lord bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Those that can, those that cannot, we bless you as you go. Amen.